I genuinely feel like a clown for wasting my Sunday watching this game. But what is going on, guys? Welcome back to another post game here on Rangers Central. And the Rangers, I don't know how the hell they did it, but they won this game 5-3 over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Before we jump into everything, leave a like on your way in, subscribe, turn on your notifications if you're listening to the audio version. Give a rating, give a review. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your podcasting platform is. Go ahead, download, subscribe. I don't know how they won this game. I genuinely don't. You look up at the shot total after two and you see the Rangers got eight. You just physically watch this game and your eyeballs are bleeding because this is just a garbage product. This is clearly two teams that have no intention of doing anything, if dare I say any of these teams make the playoffs. But these are two teams that clearly have no intentions of doing anything come playoff time. I'm worried that this win is going to give the Rangers some sort of false hope because that's just what it is with this group because they are complacent with the fact that, well, you know, we showed up for one period, barely that being, but and you know what, we showed up for one period, took advantage of a goalie with a sub 900 save percentage. Everything's all fine and dandy. But honestly, if that's how they view it, then it is what it is. And why should any of us care anymore? Because it's like, if they think that playing like that for 40 minutes, which is not something that clearly is uncommon because we've talked about it all year, then you just have a stupid front office. I don't know how else to phrase it, or put it nicely. There's just no other way to put it. But nonetheless, they won this game. I genuinely just still am in disbelief. I really am. And this was a snooze fest. This was really a snooze fest. I don't know what they said in that team meeting, but there was no urgency off the rip. And I'm more disturbed still about what Peter Laviolette said to the media. It was either before, I think it was before the game today, where he said to the media something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing here, where it was like, well, if we were to hold guys accountable, there would be too many guys to sit. I'm sorry, what? So let me get this straight. So your excuse when you're the head coach is, you know, I'm not going to sit guys because, you know, everyone's playing garbage right now. One, what message are you sending to the locker room by basically saying that? Again, paraphrasing, but you're saying that basically. What message are you sending to the room? Two, you're basically saying to the front office, this group is not good enough. And three, the main thing that we should be talking about here, it is almost March and we're still talking about efforts. We should not have to complain and sit here talking about the efforts in almost March. If that's the case, then I don't want to see this team in the playoffs. No, thank you. If that's the case, no thanks. But him saying that really pissed me off. That's one of the worst things I've heard a head coach say in my life. And that says a lot because I've been a fan of teams that that have had some garbage head coaches slash managers, whether it's Mickey Callaway or Luis Rojas, the two dunces before Peter Laviolette. I mean, look at the Knicks head coaching list. Chip Kelly. I've seen some garbage coaches. That was the dumbest thing I've heard a coach say. Because Artemi Panarin looked like he was still on vacation today. And no accountability because, well, hell with that. Everyone's playing bad. The reason that I want Peter Laviolette to be the head coach of this team is because I thought that he was going to get a grip of the room and hold guys accountable when they deserve to be held accountable. It makes no sense to say, well, everyone's playing bad, So there's no one to be held. If we hold someone accountable, everyone's got to be. You send a message to the veterans that they're not good enough by playing the young players. And even if the young players aren't getting it done, which, by the way, way to instill confidence in your young players, but even if they're not getting it done, that sends a message. So, I'm just still wrapped up. Maybe I'm insane for really reacting to that quote the way that I am, but that rubbed me the wrong way. And that is, that moment is officially where I'm sitting here and saying he has to go after the season, especially if they miss the playoffs. He has to go. If that's the mentality here. I hate that I have to sit here and talk this way after wins. I really hate it. Do not get it twisted. But this is what it is. When you're playing against a garbage Pittsburgh team and you're in a dogfight and you don't show up, and again, you look up at the shot total and it's 30-8 after two. And I'm not someone that believes shots indicate everything. Sometimes I think there's context to it, whether it's, you know, the quality versus the quantity of the shots. Those shots indicated how the game was going. Pittsburgh was completely obliterating them. You're playing a back-to-back against the two worst teams in the Eastern Conference, and you're barely scraping by against this team who, oh, by the way, probably wins this game if they have literally any other goalie in the world in net. I mean, I've seen it all this season. You got Keandre Miller letting in a butt goal there. I just don't understand, though, how Laviolette could say that thing about accountability and watch Will Cooley go out there and score a power play goal. I don't understand that. Give him extra shifts. He deserves way more ice time than Artemi Panarin right now. I mean, the guys that contributed, it's the guys that we expect, right? The two surprises were VC and Fox, sure, but it's just really, it's really disturbing that these are the efforts they're getting in. And if the result is going to get them the bye, we have a lot of issues here. We have a lot of issues. Because after today, nope. No thank you at all. No thank you. Don't care that they won this game. I don't. Do not buy. There's no way. Because you have a team that shows up for at most 20 minutes. You have a head coach who doesn't believe in accountability. You have a goalie who is Jekyll and Hyde right now. No. And I'm sorry that I'm not sitting here breaking down this game the way that I normally would. But again, I really don't have much detail to get into here. It was a win, but it was so gross that I'm going to be honest with you guys. I zoned out at points during this game. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I zoned out. And I usually never do. I like to pride myself on the fact that I'm dialed into every second on the clock of every single game. I'm not going to lie. I was on my phone at points during this game. And then I look up, Jimmy Vesey scored. I look up. Oh, puck goes off Keandre Miller's ass and in. It takes a lot for me to get checked out. I'll say that too. It takes a lot for me to get checked out. Let me see what you guys are saying in the chat, though. Like I said, leave a like if you haven't subscribed. Turn on your notifications. Audio listeners, rating, review, all that stuff. And yeah, I don't know where Artemi Panarin is. It looks like he's on an extended vacation. I don't know what's going on with him. And yeah, I mean, if fans think a win is a win, then I'm not the channel for you. You're not going to like what I have to say. You're just not. It's really that simple. Sorry for the dead air there. Just have to send the stream link right now to a guest who will join, because honestly, I have no appetite to be doing this by myself either way. Really don't. Yeah, pretty much typical Rangers win. Pretty much. Ugliest win of the season. That's saying a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I want to find the comment because Anthony put in the chat earlier, and I tweeted about how this is. I'm not even kidding. This is the saddest win in franchise history. Maybe I'm wrong, but if someone else has a game in mind, tell me. Nick, what's going on?
Hey, friend. You just wake up from your nap too?
Oh, yeah. I feel refreshed and rejuvenated from my nice nap session. I can't believe I napped from 3:30 until 15 minutes ago.
3:30, don't you mean when they start? 3:55, you mean?
Oh, yeah, 3:55, yeah. Great work, TNT. And great job getting the second goal from Shea there. Great
Heaven work. Forbid we start on time.
Fucking cat.
That was tough. That was a snooze fest. It's cool to win, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Win. Well, win's a win at the end of the day. That's. Oh, yeah. They don't ask how, they ask how many.
Right. And right now we are how many games away from this dreadful season being over?
Potentially longer, because I don't know how the hell this team is 2 points out of a playoff spot. I genuinely just don't understand it.
Still a long road ahead. Strength of schedule. It's still a road ahead, but yeah, it's oofa. They actually might make it. Actually would be absolutely hilarious if it comes full circle and the Capitals win the President's Trophy and sweep us this year. Not impossible, dude. It's kind of looking like it could be the case.
Honestly, yeah. It's on track for that. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now. I mean, the next two games aren't exactly easy, to be honest with you. Nashville, I can't even say that's a game that they'll win, because
yeah, no.
They lost to them earlier in the year. I don't know if they're actually going to make it. The thing that's really going to come down to it, honestly, is if they beat Ottawa and Columbus, which is possible because for whatever reason, they just always beat those teams.
Mm-hmm.
I want to vomit. I'm going to have to stay up late at night to watch this crap at the end of the March. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, that's kind of where it gets brutal. You have
stream.
Yeah, that's spring. a brutal West Coast trip. LA 2 days off, then Anaheim, San Jose.
God help us.
It's, I don't, and you know what too, man, like the Capitals going out and getting however many guys that we said we wanted in the offseason, Mangiapane, Chychrun, all these guys, and they're top of the league. Like, but that's what it takes. Like, JT Miller has been great. Hey, Matt. JT Miller has been great. He's been playing great for us, but we were not a JT Miller away.
No, and we all agreed on that.
That's what sucks. It's the player's not the problem. It's the making the move for the player at the time he did it is the problem. The Capitals literally pressed the reset button this offseason and went from a team that got into the playoffs, swept in the first round with a negative goal differential in the regular season, literally pressed the reset button, wiped the roster, reset, boom, boom, boom. It was like five or six guys, core guys left, and now they're pacing to win the President's Trophy. That's the thing with this Rangers team. If they make the playoffs this year, great, cool. Get bounced in the first round. Keep your first round pick, lose your first round pick next year when you're probably going to be worse. It's like, I don't, it's like pick your poison. It's like, I don't know. I mean, do we, it's going to be a rant. I'm going to bite my tongue right now.
Yeah. It's exactly what Statboy Steven tweeted earlier. I forgot exactly what he said, but it's just like, this team is not two or three moves away from being back to a legit contender. This team is five plus moves away, which is why it never made sense to get Miller, because how are you making five plus moves when you are tied up in so much garbage right now? Yes. It's just like Kreider, I think it's safe to say, based on the reports, is a negative asset. I could be wrong there, but it sounds like they're going to have to package him with Othman potentially to get rid of him.
Which is like, at that point, then you're giving away, because you don't have any second round picks, you don't technically have a first round pick either this year or next year. We're trying to figure that part out still. So what assets do you have? You don't have very many prospects. Othman is probably your blue chip. All right, we could trade this guy. You're probably definitely not going to trade Gabe Perreault. EJ Emery, who does he even have much value right now? The guy was a first round pick and didn't make Team USA. It's like, what assets, what valuable assets do you have to bring in another big fish? You don't have any. And you've got massive holes. That's why it would have been great. And Borgen had a great game today. Borgen has been good since he's been here. But what's the point in re-signing him when you could have gotten a first-round pick for him? Worst comes to worst, the first-round pick you got for Will Borgen, you flip it to the draft and get someone else. Like, I just – it's I don't know. A lot of really weird
– that's what I said for me. When they first got Borgen, and I was one of the probably the few people that initially liked the trade, just because I thought Borgen – not this year because he struggled with Seattle, but I thought the year prior he played very well at Seattle. And I thought, listen, the guy was just – same with Kako. He needed a change of scenery. But when they acquired him, never in my mind did I think, yeah, let's extend him. I either said he either plays well, you flip him, or if he plays like ass, okay, whatever, you lose him in free agency. So at that point, Kako had no value, and you had no leverage in that trade whatsoever once he said basically without saying – he basically said, I want it out.
Yeah.
But it's like I kind of said it with Evan the other night. Like, whatever they decide to do, they're fucked. Because if they decided to sell off at the deadline, well, they're still fucked for many years. But if they decide to buy, they'll fuck themselves down the road even more. And it's just going to continue the cycle. That's why I said yesterday, Drury had a golden opportunity when the Ducks came in and willingly took Jacob Trouba off our hands for nothing.
Full contract.
Drury fucked up the offseason and was given a golden opportunity to fix it. And what did he do? He said, okay, I'm going to get rid of one shit contract. Let me add another shit contract to the –
not forget this guy, from reporting that we saw and already talked about on the podcast, this is the same guy who is looking to move Trouba to Detroit. Thank God they could make it work and would have been taking back Ben Chiarot. So, like,
that's why I said the time to fix it and the time to right the wrongs was when you traded Trouba. That was the time to go in the right – to fix the direction and say, okay, let me get on track. Let me start selling off guys. Let me sell off Igor, get whatever I can back from him, and then take a 2 to 3 year retool period and just try to fix everything. But they instead buried themselves even more because Chris Drury is desperate. And when you have a desperate GM, bad things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that he's getting this desperate too when his job's not even on the line is also – it just makes even less sense. Really makes even less sense. We're fucked. Like, there's just...
There's no safe path. There is no... Barring an absolutely insane turnaround, there's just nothing that stops us. Because like you said, Chris Kreider seems to have a negative market, so it's not even like you can really get rid of him right now. And that would be your key to more cap space.
And again, this is why, again, the Rangers are... The Rangers are always a year or 2 years too late to trade a guy. Last year, which they should have retooled, and I said this many times, they should have retooled after the playoff run last year. Chris Kreider last year came off a 39-goal season.
Yep.
That was the time to trade him.
Yep.
He had value, and some GM, because we know how not smart NHL GMs are, they would have said, oh, a 39. Chris Kreider is coming off 3 straight years of 30 goals or more. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, 52 goals. The year before, 30-something goals, and last year, 39 goals. Let me see if this guy could be a nice complimentary piece on a cup run team. You could have got genuinely something back from him. Now, with his back and the fact that he has a $6.5 million cap it next year, good luck.
I bet you Edmonton would have taken a swing at him, especially knowing full well that Evander Kane was going to go on IR leading up to the beginning of the season. It's like, man.
And we were banging the drum the entire offseason to move Kreider.
Yeah, because, do it now while you have a chance.
Yeah, we said it that this team needed to get younger. And one of your better ways, your better paths to do it was to move Kreider. And instead, no. They could have got, I don't know if they would have targeted a defenseman or a forward, but ideally, either way, you're getting younger. So who gives a fuck? This team was not in a spot. I really wonder how different things would have went this offseason if Carolina reverse swept them. Like, they probably should have. Because Chris Kreider doesn't have that legacy game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows what happens in that game 7. But if Carolina did finish the job, hypothetically, in that regard, I really wonder if they would have moved Kreider last offseason.
We would have seen a lot more.
I still believe in the fact that if that series goes 7, Carolina wins that series.
Yeah,
they would have just had too much momentum at that point.
I agree. Yeah, they would have rolled into that game 7 with all the momentum on their side. And like, this is my other problem too with the Borgen extension. They're paying him. And they're playing him as well, like he's a second pair defenseman when he is not that. And I think Borgen is fine on a third pair. But I tweeted this the other day when there was that whole thread that at Bald Panarin put out on Twitter about from Arthur Staples' article, you know, what the Rangers roster or what they're potentially eyeing come the next offseason and whatever. And it was talking about how they might target guys like Provorov and Orlov. I was like, and then Keandre Miller, they were saying he might get that 6x6.5 extension.
Dude.
And that, if and they said Vaakanainen might get an extension. So if you are telling me that this front office is so convinced, and Ryan Lindgren sucks, do not get me wrong, but if this front office is so dead set on Ryan Lindgren being the only poor defenseman on this team, I got a lot of things to sell you right now, man. I got a bridge. I got an island. I got a penthouse. I got so much to sell you. You are not winning. If they think next year, so let's just say Orlov's the defenseman they get. If they think Orlov, Fox, Miller, Borgen, Vaakanainen, and Schneider is a good enough decor for a Stanley Cup team, that's a problem.
It's not even Vakanainen's fault. Like, if Vakanainen was in the Steve Eminger seventh defenseman that plays 20 or 30 game spots,
exactly,
I don't even think we'd really care. But he is not good at, not that he's not playing well. He's playing okay for just given the scenario he's in. But he is so replaceable. If you have a replaceable asset on your roster, you should probably replace them with someone who's irreplaceable. The whole point is you're in the NHL. You're in the business of winning. You should be constantly trying to get better. I'm gonna rewind and bring up this point. This is my favorite point to bring up on this show. The Florida Panthers won the President's Trophy and were so unhappy about how they did in the playoffs. They traded their franchise leader in points to, I believe, don't quote me on that. I believe Huberto was their franchise leader in points at that time, coming off a 115-point season, arguably their best defenseman in Mackenzie Weegar, and brought in a culture-changing playoff player in Matthew Tkachuk and went to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals and won one of them. That's what winning teams do. They make those bold moves.
But see, here's the thing you mentioned. They made the culture changing move when they were already a playoff team and one of the top teams in the league.
Yeah.
The Rangers decide to make a culture changing move when they are one of the worst teams in the NHL and their roster is filled with guys on garbage contracts. That is not when you make a culture changing move. You got to get rid of the shit first and then you bring in a culture changing move. It's the same thing like when the Rangers in 91-92 when they brought in Messier was a culture changing move but the Rangers were already one of the better teams in the league, and then you bring in Messier to elevate your game and elevate your level, and they wanted to win the President's Trophy that year. They lost the second round, and then 2 years later they go on to win the cup. That's when you make a culture changing move, not when you're one of the worst teams in the league.
But don't trade for Eichel, don't trade for Tkachuk, don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
Can't trade Nils Lundqvist now. Stop the bus. No. Can't give up him or Kako. Can't give up anybody.
And that's another thing about the Borgen extension. Like, look how desperate we were, or not we were, but look how desperate Drury was to extend Borgen. And yet Kako, who's had a bigger impact on Seattle, and you didn't see Seattle go out there and rush to extend them.
No. They're not going to either. He'll get an extension in the offseason as a qualified RFA, probably a one-year Ryan Lindgren bridge to UFA contract, or a two-year, right? Because Kako's got 2 years before UFA. Who gives a fuck, regardless? Probably not going to get much. He's certainly not going to get a fucking four times five or four and a half, whatever Borgen got. Yeah, four times 4.1 for a third pair defenseman. For a number four.
The thing that I'm trying to understand, too, is the double standards this team has. Why is it that Matt Rempe has a billion lives, but they didn't want to give this much like time and attention to the younger players that actually matter?
The fact that they were ready to scratch Kaliev going into this game is kind of nuts. Not that Kaliev didn't even really have that great of a game, but like, is a 23-year-old guy, high draft pick, who still has not been given a proper shot in the NHL. His teammates all described him as a guy that can make a serious offensive impact at the NHL level. That's what he was advertised as at the draft. No one's given him a shot. You take him off waivers to give him a shot, and then don't give him a shot. It's just stupid. Chris Kreider's out. Wow, what a perfect opportunity to give this guy top 6 minutes. And I know VC scored, but God damn it, Jimmy VC is not your top six solution in 2025. When you signed him 10 years ago, maybe, not now.
You know who else is not a top six solution that they tried to sell us on it being a good solution is Riley Smith.
Oh, yeah, Riley Smith.
The guy's been playing on the fucking fourth line.
Yeah, I remember getting shit on Twitter when that trade first happened.
We all did.
Stupid. I had people threaten to come find me over that trade. I said, it's just a stupid fucking trade.
See, I never had a problem with Riley Smith as the player. I just didn't like the fact that we knew that he was the first line solution and we gave up more than what Pittsburgh did the year prior.
Not only that, Pittsburgh was trying to get rid of him for fucking free.
I know.
They couldn't give the guy away. And we said, oh, here's a second round pick. Oh, and a fourth as well. Here, have both. It's like you're paying for someone else's garbage. Fucking bizarre. Especially when you look at what the Capitals gave up for Andrew Mangiapane.
Especially when there's an open market.
Yeah, this free agent. You could have just given any of those guys a one-year deal. Like, no. We want to pay for this guy.
It was July 1st, and they fucking made the move. Unless, you know what?
The board, by the way.
You know what? Maybe no one wanted to be here. Maybe no one wanted to be here.
Would you fucking blame them?
I wouldn't blame them either.
Dude, when they called Sam Carrick and offered a contract, he shit himself. He didn't expect it.
If I had to share a locker with Mika and Kreider, I wouldn't want to come here either.
Fuck no.
Sam Carrick was literally that meme where it's just like the guy pointing to himself.
Hold on.
Me? Oh, okay.
the Drewski one?
Bro, he was in his maple syrup factory and he got the call. Like, oh, really? Okay.
Dude, he thought he was going to pull a Jose Iglesias.
I got nothing going on this season. I get fucked all day.
Oh, literally nobody else called. Thanks. Dude, even the European leagues are like, nah, we're good. And they can't wait to bring in. Even the KHL was kind of like, I don't know. I was more locked in watching Mets preseason baseball than I was watching this fucking game.
Hey, man. When you got Soto hitting a homer in his first at bat and Clay Holmes shoving, I mean, what could be better?
No, I gotta watch Johnny Brzezinski do cardio for the fourth year in a row.
Hey, only the fourth year.
Only the fourth year. This team is fucking hilarious. It's actually kind of funny. I mean, I the best part is Jimmy Vesey scored a goal today, right? He's been complaining about not getting a whole lot of ice time. I give it 2 weeks. No, I give it a week, and we're going to see a Jimmy Vesey 2-year, $850,000 contract extension.
You know,
get another 2-year deal.
You know, it's amazing though. Like, I got to give credit to this team for something. See, I'm not all entirely negative. I'll give credit where credit's due. This core of guys somehow are the best at scoring, like, the most undeserving goals I've ever seen.
Yeah.
When that JT Miller goal went in, I'm like, how? Please tell me how. You had three whole shots the entire period.
Yeah.
Their goalie was so wolf shit. Like, it's not even funny.
The Fox, how he let up the Fox goal, I do not understand.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Just to go back to the Riley Smith thing for a second, you know who's someone that they could have got this offseason for cheaper than him on a 1-year contract?
Anthony Bogle, yeah.
Who they played today, yes. Who looked, by the way, looked,
I kept saying, decided to come.
He oh, looked my. A billion times better than Riley Smith has all season long.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm torturing myself for no reason right now, and I'm just looking through that free agent class again, just seeing who they could have got and what could have been.
Kiefer Sherwood, a guy who actually forechecks and hits.
Eric Robinson.
Blake Lizotte.
Eric Robinson.
Joel Kiviranta.
Literally anybody not named Riley Smith that for some reason cost a second round pick that no one in the world could figure out. Dude, like, when you trade a second round pick or more for a player, you're like, oh, there must be teams lining up. This must be a bidding war. No. No one was out there saying, you know what we need?
Riley Smith.
We are a Riley Smith away. Dude, you... At some point, it's not what's the winger that's going to be there for Mika and Kreider. Maybe they're the fucking problem because you've had about 100 guys play with them and no one's worked out. At what point is it them?
Vegas needed a winner and they decided to go pivot towards Alexander Holtz and Victor Olofsson.
Yeah.
They also, didn't even want him back.
This is what fucking kills me too. And everyone gets upset. Oh, they traded Gaudreau. They traded Trouba. They forced him out of town. Blah blah blah. Look at what the fuck Vegas has been doing since their inception. These guys have been fucking lynching their own players for 7 or 8 years now, and no one's batted an eye. The Rangers do it twice, and it's like, whoa, stop the bus. What's going on right now? It's like, oh my god, you kicked the worst defenseman on the worst contract in the league out of town and somehow got assets for him, but you're a dick for doing that.
Yeah, it's like when Brandon Saad was put on waivers a couple weeks ago too, and it was just like, no one says a word, but
no
Barclay Goudreau, whoa, he's got a family now. Dude, what are we doing?
How could you do this? Don't you know he has a wife? And now they got to pick up and move across the country? How could you do that?
You know how popular Barclay Goodrow is? People had Twitter accounts named after this fucking guy, all right? He's important.
Hey, man. Those cardboard cutouts are something else.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, that man has a family, damn it. Think about the children for once, for crying out loud.
Guys getting traded while their fucking wives are giving birth. But no, hold on. Trading this guy in the offseason, that was the fucking... That's the line in the sand.
But he has a kid.
Oh, but where will his dog piss tomorrow if he's traded today? Who gives a shit?
Here's the difference. The Mets use the family card, and they actually attract world-class players.
Yeah!
And the Rangers use the family card to keep the worst players on the roster. Tell me everything you need to know.
It's just so ass backwards. It's just fucking weird.
Oh, yeah, and when they were called Alpha Males today on the broadcast, give me a fucking break. Bro. Get the fuck out of here. I completely
The guy that has a zero offensive war, a zero defensive war. That's the alpha male that's in the room, dude. This is some Doug the Thug Lat bullshit. Shut the fuck up. Alpha Stone Hands. It's actually a compliment to literal stones. But no, John Cooper said he had a good playoffs one time, so. So pay him 3.6 for 6 years.
He's a Jeep, man.
He's a Jeep.
He's a Jeep.
He's the most crashed into car in the world. It's just like, dude, when they said alpha male on the broadcast, my dog, who was asleep, woke up and gave me one of those. Even my dog was like, what the fuck was that?
My dog was sleeping this entire game. I kid you not. She's a fucking puppy. She should be sleeping the entire game.
That motherfucker should have the zoomies 24/7. And that thing was asleep.
No, I love the media that cried about Trouba and Goodrow when those two are the definition of, you know, that meme where it's like the jukebox that's just like, or the record player, I meant, where it's just like broken but could be fun to fix.
Yeah.
Literally that. But this is where we draw the fucking line. This is where we draw the line. All right, let's stop here.
Yeah, let's just stop. This is not right. You guys are so mean sending him out of town. He had he's like Trouba's in California. This is the happiest he's ever been.
They bought out Henrik Lundqvist, but
yeah,
hold up.
Greatest player in franchise history. One of the most well-renowned figures in hockey bought his ass out, and there was less of a problem than trading one of the worst contracts in Rangers history.
We're such a shitty and mean organization that we wanted to trade him back to his hometown.
Yes.
And get back a defenseman that's arguably worse than him.
Yeah. You know how hard that is? You know how hard it was to find that fucking guy? Someone worse than him? You know how many scouts we were sending out across the league to find this fucking guy?
Yeah, no, they have to cry. They can go cry under the palm trees for all I care.
Yeah. Oh, must suck living by the beach.
I know, yeah. Trouba must be crying on those Disneyland rides right now.
Yeah, he's fucking he's wiping his ears with $100.
Yeah, he's with Anthony Rendon right now in Disneyland. Yeah.
God, dude. I actually envy Rendon. That guy's the smartest figure in all baseball. Dude's like, oh, I got to have a couple good years and go fucking sign my ticket.
He cheated the system.
I mean, he did what Ranger players do. He got his bag and then was just like, yeah, I'm out.
Hey, but at least he won a World Series, though. I'll give him that.
Yeah, we don't do cups here.
No. We do regular season championships.
Right.
Little bro wants a cup but don't got cup money.
Imagine like being around for 100 years and having less banners than almost every team in the entire fucking league. Team's like a century old and we don't have shit to show for it. We won 4 cups and majority of your fan base was not alive for a single one of them.
If it wasn't for that regular season champion banner, the most recent banner in the building would be a Harry Styles banner, just to put this in the perspective for a second. Why is your Christmas tree still up?
I'm lazy.
No. If we think about it, let's put it in this perspective. The Rangers were around since 1926, and they have four Stanley Cup banners hanging from the MSG. From the MSG around.
You guys want to talk shit? I'm going to turn that bitch on now.
Listen, the president.
Y'all want to talk shit?
The Rangers were established in 1926.
Yeah, it's fucking Christmas in this house. Get over it.
And have won four cups. The President's Trophy was brought into the league in 1986. The Rangers have the same amount of President's Trophies as they do Stanley Cups.
That's fucking insane. Yeah, speaking of, this will last a fucking lifetime. This fucking tree. Keep talking about it. I'll have this bitch up till June. Yeah, Billy Joel is, yeah.
Hey, listen, March 27th is almost here, so we can be thankful for that.
Yeah. At least the Rangers don't play for a few days, right? We got some time to breathe here.
Yeah, you wish.
Yeah.
For like one day.
When do we play again?
Right back to work Tuesday against the Islanders.
Yeah, Islanders.
That sucks. And then Toronto.
Yeah.
On Friday. Great.
The NHL really flipped us the double bird coming out of this break. There's so many back-to-backs also in March, I think.
Islander, yeah, I see the Islanders Preds one, and then another one, Anaheim San Jose, that's on the West Coast.
There's a back-to-back every weekend except for one.
Oh, yeah, holy shit, I didn't even notice the fucking weekend ones.
Nice, man.
Yeah, Ottawa, Columbus, Columbus, Edmonton.
We willingly have to stay up
and this watch is,
those games.
You know what, though? This feels like we're just bearing through hell just for a couple more weeks here to crawl our way to the damn finish line with this shit. We just have to bear. This is like the Hunger Games. We just got to bear all these back-to-backs.
Yeah, just fucking survive at this point. Running on fumes. No gas left in this fucking car. We got Raul pushing it to the fucking gas station. Raul Bulliard.
Enrico.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad we drafted a guy who was an overage or less than a point per game in the queue when Kimi was on the board.
How do you win 14 rip, leave that game at one assist? Just give the assist back, dude. You didn't fucking play if that's the case. Just like, all right, yeah, you can have the helper back. That's fucking crazy. To score 14 goals in 60 minutes and contribute to one of them, that's fucking wild.
Timeout. I gotta look this shit up now. Who do we think has more points? Without looking, do we think Raul Bulliard or whatever the fuck his name is has more points than... Actually, no, that was probably a dumb one because Kivi Haru's in a better league.
Yeah.
It's probably not a far gap, though, let's say.
And he's probably not a bad gap.
And he's a defenseman, too.
Yeah.
So 14 points right now in 45 games in the Liga, and then Raul has 37 in 44 games.
In the QMJHL, which will literally take anybody that can hold a stick.
For redrafting. All right, I'm gonna wrap up the stream here. Thank you everyone that tuned in. Leave a like if you enjoyed it. The good news is they're back at it Tuesday.
Yes,
back at it.
We'll see you guys Tuesday.